Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, all you Chicago Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls Coverage Show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy here and co-host, Mr. Trey Hill, to break down the first game of the series, a seven-game series, well, maybe seven games, we'll see, the playoff series between the Chicago Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks, where the Bulls fall to the Bucks 86-93. Trey, if I were to kind of sum this thing up, you know, quickly and succinctly, I would say the Bulls played their best defense, you know, they have in like 3 months, A. B, the Bulls missed a ton of freaking shots that any NBA team should hit, B. And C, Vucevic, I think, had his best game of the season. I know he missed a lot of shots, but, man, the way the areas and the places he was getting the ball and the way that he was involved in the offensive end and on the boards, I thought it was fantastic. So as a Vuce hater on this show, I had to kind of give him some props here. But give me your initial reaction here.
After that first quarter, I thought the Bulls really were able to buckle down and kind of get back into it. To me, they won the second quarter, but it was really at halftime, it seemed like they really clamped down better on the defensive end. To me, it just seemed like they were more in sync. And if it wasn't for that slow start in the first quarter, what might have been. But it was nice to see the Bulls battle back. They were down 16 points. At one point, I think it was 32-16. And to see them come back and take the lead, I saw a lot of models say this was the series most likely to end in a sweep. Mm-hmm. And even if it does end up in a sweep, as long as the Bulls can be competitive like this against the defending champs in the playoffs, getting these young guys those playoff reps against the defending champ, like that's worth it to me. So the Bulls lost this game. It's a disappointing loss. But like you said, I think the Bulls found stuff they can build on. And I think in overall, I was happy with how things turned out.
That's right. And you're listening to the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls Coverage Show. Good listeners, please take a moment to go follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow it right now. DeMar DeRozan. So when I'm talking about the offense and I'm talking about it looked just like miles better through, I would say, three quarters tonight. We were getting Vooch the ball in the high post or low in the post, and he was being able to go to work with the space that he needs to be able to, feel comfortable that double's not coming. And if the double did come, they were isolating him on the side with Zach LaVine. And I thought that was a fantastic thing. And then the fourth quarter rolls around, Trey, and all of a sudden we revert back to, just give DeMar DeRozan the ball at the elbow and get out of his way and let him go ISO with 16 seconds left on the shot clock. And then, we'll see what happens. I don't understand why that was the call. I don't understand why we just decided to forget, what had brought us up until this point that we were in this game, and we just totally neglected and failed to do that. Defense I thought was still solid, but that offense was rough to watch, man. And then we have Zach LaVine also doing some ISO stuff on the perimeter with some step backs. Maybe it's that shot. It's not like it's a terrible shot for him, but there are better shots we can get, right?
Yeah, I will always support anytime Zach is open beyond the 3-point line. If he can get the shot up and it'd be classified as an open look, I want him to take that because that's a quality shot against a team that's as good on the defensive end as Milwaukee. But it did seem like there was a lot of ISO stuff. And you mentioned how we ran all of the offense through Vooch for the, you know, really the second and third quarters, it seemed like. And then they went to DeRozan. I'd rather sprinkle DeRozan ISOs in the second and third quarters so you don't have Vucevic ending up with 27 shots, even though it seemed like he was kind of, like you said, he was put on the back burner in the fourth quarter. So to me, I agree. I want to see the offense be a little more dynamic late in the game.
And DeRozan, obviously, 6 of 25 from the field, 24%. That is just disgusting, awful, not good. I know there's a lot of stigma around DeRozan when it comes to the playoffs. You know, with Toronto, he struggled in the playoffs, so this playoff DeRozan isn't so good. I don't know if I necessarily buy into that narrative. There's been nights like this.
Mm-hmm. Like, look at the Bucks and all the defensive length they have. We both just watched that game. Would you say that DeRozan was putting himself slash being put in positions to succeed? I thought the degree of difficulty for most of the things he was doing was pretty high. I didn't think anything was coming easy for him.
I think the only thing I would criticize with DeRozan is in the fourth when we went ISO DeRozan with, like, you know, 16 seconds or you know, around there on the shot clock. And he ends up taking a shot with maybe about 8, 9, 10 seconds left on the clock where he's looking for a foul. That's the one thing that I would definitely, you know, have to criticize him for, because you could tell that he wasn't even really hoping. It's not like he wasn't hoping to make the shot, trying to make the shot. He was. But he was hoping and anticipating a foul call like 3 or 4 times in a row there. And it just wasn't going to happen. This is playoff basketball. They're going to let a lot of crap slide. So that's the one thing I'll criticize. But other than that, no, I thought in general, Trey, the Bulls were generating good looks all game, honestly. I mean, I didn't think that there were a ton of bad shots that they took. What do you think?
I thought DeRozan was really the only one who was taking bad shots. And that's kind of been the Bulls' mantra all season. Is DeRozan kind of, he bites the bullet and takes the difficult shots. And when he can knock those high degree of difficulty ones down, the Bulls can pull out the victories. But no, I thought the Bulls' shot selection was good. And to me, having the offense flow through Vucevic, having it run as well as it did, that's what causes the Bulls to be able to play better on defense. I think if the Bulls can get in a rhythm on offense, the defense will come around, because when you're going against Giannis, anytime he gets any momentum in the open court, this Bulls team's just done for.
The Bulls as a team shot 32% from the field. I don't think, you know, like you said, Trey, you and I just watched that game.
18.9
from three-pointer. Yeah, so under 20 from threes. But like you said, you know, we just watched this game. I don't feel like they were bad shots. I feel like they're generating good shots, just missing them, just straight up not hitting shots. That they normally make. Some things that really jump out, though, I had Adesuma only 88 minutes and 44 seconds on the court. That is pretty low, right? I mean, you know, I was one that was advocating bringing him off the bench. I thought he could be in a good bench role between 15 and 20 minutes. But this is a really diminished role for him. Do you think that sticks throughout this playoffs, or do you think that's just something that Billy wanted to try in game one?
I think Coby White playing 23 minutes is a little more than they expected, more than likely, but he was able to knock down some shots.
Yeah, he was playing really well.
He was knocking down the shots. He was giving the Bulls what they needed, that offensive spark. And then I thought Derrick Jones Jr. getting 10 minutes was a little surprising, but he was effective out there, and I hope he continues to get those minutes. So, like, I don't think this was the game plan going in. I think that we saw kind of what was successful and what the Bulls needed, and it wasn't IO. It wasn't what he was going to offer tonight. I don't know that I necessarily can expect that to continue, but if the Bulls need offense, I understand why when Coby White is going, he's the one that's going to get the majority of those backup guard minutes.
Yeah, that's the role we need him in. We need him in that microwave role. If he's on, he's got to play more minutes, and if he's not on, he shouldn't play as many minutes. He had 23 minutes tonight, like you said, Trey. I think that's pretty good. I see him rolling the way he was, though, on offense. I mean, he just looked confident out there and was just, like, shooting it without zero thought behind it. I actually would have preferred to see him out there for a few more minutes. We only saw Tristan Thompson for about 7.5 minutes, which I'm okay with. I think that's a great role for him in this series. Get out there and just guard Giannis for a good 3 or 4 minute stretch and give whoever, you know, needs to get a spell. Give, you know, hopefully a couple, 2 or 3 very hard fouls. Hopefully Grayson Allen's in that mix and gets a good slap across the face. But that's the perfect Tristan Thompson role, I felt like. Javonte Green actually got 17 minutes, which I'm happy about. I've been saying the last month or so, I don't understand why Javonte Green kind of disappeared on the Bulls. When he was in there, we saw his activity on the offensive boards. He didn't generate a lot of stats here, but I felt like he gave us positive minutes.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and on the defensive end, I thought that just bringing the energy that he brings, that's something that the Bulls struggled with throughout the regular season. I think a lot of that was just fatigue, you know, from playing all the minutes, from having so many injuries. But like you see DeRozan with 43 minutes, Vooch with 39. Zach had 37. Those are pretty high numbers, and ideally you'd like to see the Bulls find a way to maybe get those down a little bit, and then maybe you can see Io go from 9 minutes up to 15 just from cutting DeRozan and Vooch down a little bit. So I don't know. They just seem to me the key is Giannis, and I think the Bulls, with the way Giannis plays, I would like to see the Bulls try and get him in foul trouble.
And they did a pretty good job of that tonight, Trey. I mean, he wasn't like ever really in foul trouble until the very end there. But he was always there was a concerted effort from the Bulls players to get in front of him on drives and draw an offensive charge. And that was successful at least twice. It might have been three times he got an offensive foul. But I know DeRozan drew one and Caruso drew one. And these guys were just throwing their bodies in front and just like, you know, flopping, whatever you want to call it. But they were making a concerted effort to do this. And that's the way you got to play, Giannis. And, you know, it hurts and it's really sacrificing your body for the greater good. So I was really proud of what the Bulls did there on the defensive side there. I thought they did a fantastic job on Giannis and a really fantastic job on Middleton too, taking advantage of Middleton's kind of lackluster handles with Caruso, a little bit of Io in there too, generating turnovers and getting points off turnovers where the Bulls are best. So, even while I was watching that first quarter trade, we were losing, I think it was like 13 points at the end of the first quarter. I still felt like, you know, oh, wait, there's something different going on here, because I did feel like we were losing by 13. I did feel like, you know, we were generating good looks on the offensive end. And then the second quarter hit. And like you said, I think that's when the defense really started to formulate itself. We were playing great defense. I said, wait a minute, the Bulls are going to give themselves a chance to win this, I think. And it was true. They fought there, man. There is nothing to be ashamed of here. This is potentially the
they took the lead in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter. It wasn't even like they snuck back and just barely took the lead in the fourth quarter, catching the Bucks off guard. They took the lead late into the third. It was a competitive game throughout, and to hold the Bucks to 93 points, I think that really helps show just how effective the Bulls were. They had two quarters, they held them under 20 points. It was a well-fought game between two teams that played really well. And to see the Bulls be able to have this kind of effort and to compete with the Bucks, you know, when the lights are shining brightest, that's just such a good sign for this team, considering, like you said, they shot 32% and 18% from three.
I want to ask you something here. Speaking of the light shining bright, we'll come back to that here, but I want to go ahead and plug, guys. We have a new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up a Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit, up to $100 plus either two or four free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and then players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. Lights are shining bright. It was Zach LaVine's first playoff game ever. Big moment for him. I felt like he had some moments where he really rose up, and I felt like people were going to actually see what we've seen, you know, the last couple seasons here with Zach LaVine, just his ability to create offense anywhere on the floor. and really just be an elite level scorer. But then, you know, he gets hit with that. I think it was the fourth foul in the third quarter, where he was called for a charge on Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton was still moving, according to the replay, and Billy Donovan doesn't challenge it. I know that's early in the game, Trey, but that's, you know, that's a foul that on Zach that is going to cost him some minutes. Isn't that something you'd want to see Billy review?
I mean, hindsight's 2020. We didn't end up needing to use it. So, yeah, ideally that's where, like, looking back at the entire game, that's where you would have wanted to use it. But Zach was still able to play 37 minutes. I do think having the five fouls makes him, you know, less effective. So there is the argument for that. But it didn't really cut into his minutes so much, I think, but more cut into just how aggressive he could be. So looking back, but do you remember how much time was left when that happened?
I think it was like 8 minutes left in the third or something like that. It was quite, you know, it was quite a pretty quickly into the third quarter. He was cooking too. He had hit like three shots before that. And we know Zach LaVine, third quarters, man, that's like his quarter to shine for whatever reason. He just comes out lightning. And
he really does.
Yeah. And then he caught that ball.
It's just so hard to use that early, especially in such a close game. But yeah, like looking back, that's when you would have wanted to use it. So
I thought
I can't criticize him for not using it, but in the moment it was kind of like a well maybe it's time to go ahead and do this. So I do understand the second guessing. It's hard for me to hold it against him.
In the moment I did tweet out, Billy, how do you not challenge that call? Because it's your star player. Like I said, he was cooking right before that, hitting shots. It looked like he was just going to get on a heater here. And that's what you kind of have to do. I mean, if you have somebody like that, you have to protect that at all costs. And against the Bucks, you have to take, you know, the points when you can get them. And then when he went to the bench, the Bulls, you know, they didn't lose the third quarter, obviously. They won the third quarter, actually, by, I believe, 5 points. But all their gains came at the beginning of the third quarter, basically. And then as that third quarter wore on, it was kind of like back and forth, and it felt like you kind of missed out an opportunity. And then that fourth quarter hit, and it was like, oh my gosh, neither team can buy a bucket. And then if there's another play in the fourth, Trey, that I thought Billy could challenge, and that was the Patrick Williams foul on the rebound with Giannis going over his back. I have no idea how that's a foul on Patrick Williams, who is just literally boxing out and bending forward. That's just a terrible call. So, you know, again, I'm not trying to like, I think Billy came in with a really fantastic game plan here, but you know, I think he should have challenged that play. If not that Zach LaVine play, then I definitely would have used it. Cause I think there was like 2 minutes left in the game at that point.
Yeah. I had honestly completely forgotten about that one until you just mentioned it. That was, I don't understand that call.
That was a terrible call.
I hesitate. You know, I don't want to blame the refs. I thought they did a pretty good job overall with the game. But when the whistle blew, I do not understand how you blow that whistle and you call the foul on Patrick Williams there. The only thing I can think of is they didn't realize, because that would have been Giannis's sixth, right?
Yeah, he would have fouled out. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Like, to me, the only thing I can think of is they did not realize what they were doing when they blew the whistle, and they didn't realize they were about to throw Giannis out of the game, and they decided against it because he's Giannis.
You hate to think that stuff happens, but it definitely does. Definitely plays a role in the arithmetic here, I guess you'll call it.
And there wasn't another buck around for them to you know how they do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like in the Raptors 76ers game, I saw at least one foul for sure where Siakam very clearly fouled Embiid, and they gave it to Boucher as he very happily raised his hand to take that foul.
Yeah.
But there was no one around for Giannis to hand that one off to.
Yeah, that was just a terrible call, though. I have no, because Patrick was literally just like standing there, bent almost completely over, like 90 degrees, and Giannis went over his back, jumped on his back to get the rebound, and now it's a foul on Patrick. That makes no sense. I mean,
all he was doing was boxing out. Like he was, Patrick Williams was making it a point to not even go for the rebound.
Yeah, he was just boxing trying to keep Giannis out away
from him. So the other guys could get the rebound, and Giannis literally just jumped over his back to It's unfathomable how that was a foul on Patrick Williams. So, yes, there's the one that you should have challenged, Billy. There's the one where we can fault you. You Dumbass.
Yeah, no, I thought, but speaking of Billy Donovan, I think that, you know, if anything, like, I don't think, you know, neither of us really thinks that the Bulls are going to win this series. It's going to be a very difficult, you know, battle if they even take it to 6-7 games, which that's a big ask here. But I think the one thing we can take away from the series going forward, Trey, is just this is like a good evaluation point or a good, you know, testing, I guess, for Billy Donovan as a head coach. And I thought, you know, he had a fantastic game plan. I felt like the guys were really well prepared. I felt like they did, you know, again, we're talking about the defense on Giannis. We're talking about the defense on Chris Middleton. We're talking about forcing the Bucks to take shots that they don't necessarily want to take. Defensively, I thought it was fantastic. Offensively, again, through three quarters, thought we generated good looks and you know, had good motions going on. So, you know, I thought there was good preparation for this game here. But
And I really liked his rotations, keeping high energy, defensive focused players out there at all times to keep that defensive intensity, because in the regular season, the Bulls were so susceptible to those defensive lapses where, you know, that team would go on an 8-0 run and then, you know, 5 minutes later, maybe go on a 12-4 run and boom, the game's out of reach. Whereas tonight, the rotations, while they were different, like you messaged me before the game talking about how Io wasn't in the starting lineup, he only played 9 minutes. They were different rotations. But I thought he did a really good job of kind of mixing and matching the players on the court.
Yeah, I thought it was probably the best of the season, honestly. And, you know, you have to kind of wonder where this was for the last, you know, couple months, but I'll take it when we get it, and that's fine. Let's talk about Patrick Williams, though. 23 minutes, and he only shot 3 shots. That's just not going to cut it for me, man. He was open for at least 1 shot. I know he was wide open, and he just passed it up again. And this has happened with him before. 0-for-2 from 3. I mean, you know, even if you miss it, you've got to fire it up. You've got to be a threat, or else you're not helping anything. You know, what do you think?
The one he did make, at least it was late in the fourth quarter. It was a nice clutch pass.
And it was a good pass from, I think, Vooch. Got him on a cut there for a layup. But what do you think here, Trey? I mean, you know, obviously this is good experience here for Patrick Williams. You think it's just first game jitters? You think he's going to get better? You know, what's going on here, you think?
I think he's expending all of his effort on the defensive end because he is the primary defender on Giannis, it seems to be. So I think he's just camping out in the corner or camping out wherever and taking what he can get. He shot 4 free throws.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you know, he at least had 2 attempts where he was fouled on the attempt. But even if he makes those 2 shots and he only goes 3 of 5, you still want him to have more than 5 attempts. And again, I think he just has to be assertive. He has to be the aggressive guy on offense, because as athletic as he is, as talented as he is, when he does that, he finds shots even against a team as talented and as big as Milwaukee.
Yeah. Alex Caruso, the Caruso in the fourth quarter, even the ESPN guys, I had the ESPN guys on. I don't know if you listen to Stacey or ESPN, but I had the ESPN guys on, the national guys, and they were talking about how it seemed like there were 5 Alex Carusos out there. I thought I was listening to Stacey King for a minute there in that fourth quarter, because that man was just at one point they said he was dominating the game with his defense. And he really was. He was everywhere, causing turnovers, causing havoc. Causing the Bucks to just you know, make mistakes just by being in really awkward spots for them. Just such a masterclass of how to play good help defense and on ball defense, just defense in general. So I can't say enough about Alex Caruso tonight. What'd you think, man?
I thought it was so much fun to watch. It was like the beginning of the season whenever the defense was really in tune and we got to watch them be the aggressors on the defensive end. And to me, what that shows is how in tune the defense behind Caruso was. Because for him to be able to play that way, the rest of the defense has to be in tune to kind of, you know, just to kind of have their awareness up extra level. Because he is roaming a little bit. He's causing that havoc on the defensive end. And if the Bulls can continue to stay this engaged on the defensive end, I'm hoping they can steal at least 1, if not 2 games in this series, maybe get it to a game 6, because like that defense is going to be the key to that, though.
I think that's what we're looking at here, too. I think we're looking at, you know, I would like to see them win 1 game, obviously. I think that's that's kind of an expectation for me at this point after seeing a game here. If they bring that, now if they get swept, I'm not going to like cry about it. I think the Bucks have total ability here, and just, you know, Giannis is still on the court, so there's always a chance that they can sweep the Bulls. But if the Bulls do win a game, I'm going to say, okay, good. That's, you know, that's kind of my expectation here. That's what I want to see. If they win two here, I'm going to consider that a win at this point. If they can push it to six games, I really think that that's going to, you know, be stretching what people expected of us here. And it's going to be also stretching, you know, my own expectations of the team at this point. So, you know, that's what we're looking at here. And, oh, man, it was such a chance to win tonight. And so unfortunate. Let's talk about Vucevic. You know, I mentioned before, I love what he did on the offensive end when the offense was running through him. I thought it was just fantastic because he was getting touches in the post, and then he was making making the right decisions, because sometimes making a quick decision isn't right. So if you get the ball in the post and you immediately pass it out, that doesn't help anybody sometimes. But sometimes if you take a second and then look where the defense is coming from and then make the pass, that helps. So it's a tricky thing. It's more tricky than just, hey, let's have the ball pop in and out or something like that. You have to be smart in the post. And I felt like he made smart decisions tonight. When the offense was running through him, cutters were open. When the double was coming down, he was hitting Zach LaVine or whoever else for threes, and they were hitting threes. When no help was coming, he was actually dominating the post, I felt like, backing it down against Brooke Lopez, against Bobby Portis. And even when he had a guard on him here and there, you know, he was really taking advantage of those matchups. So I thought it was a good Vooch game. But then, of course, end of the fourth happens, and what happens? He gets an easy bunny at the rim, an offensive rebound with like 40 seconds putting in front of him. What the fuck happened? And, but no, overall, what'd you think about Vooch?
I think it showed that if the Bulls are going to have a chance to win a game in this series, I think it's gonna you're going to have to play through Vooch, because as much as the Bulls love to play the iso ball with Zach and DeMar, the defensive ability that the Bucks have, especially when you allow Giannis to be the roamer, that they're too talented for the Bulls to win games that way. You have to force Giannis to either guard Vucevic himself or to be the guy who comes to help, and then when Vooch is passing out of that, you're passing away from Giannis. And that's how you take advantage of the Bucks team. The Bucks depend on having Giannis as that roamer, as that free safety, who kind of cleans up everything else behind them. And if you can take advantage of not having Giannis behind them, that's where you can maybe see the cracks in the armor.
It was less pick and roll with Vooch tonight. It was more pick and then kind of circle around and hope that you're going to switch here so you can take advantage of somebody in the post. And I think that caters more to his game than putting him in the pick and roll over and over again with Zach and DeMar. Obviously, you still want pick and roll actions. That's always going to be a plus in the NBA. But I just felt like they're utilizing him so much better than we've seen all season tonight. So if they continue to do that for the rest of the series, I'll probably change my tune about whether or not I want Vooch back here, because then it's, you know, we're actually using him in ways that are beneficial, in my opinion. What do you think about that?
So you're saying you like really it. Using the pick and roll with the objective of getting the switch, whereas a lot of the time we were using the pick and roll as the objective to just give DeMar the advantage.
Yeah, you know, give DeMar the advantage, or get like a pick and pop with Vooch, which, you know, it's not his strong suit.
Right, I agree. I like the idea of hunting the switches for Vooch and then letting him create off of that, because I think he's a smart playmaker. I think he's an excellent passer for his size. And I think he can read the defense as well. Like we saw tonight. You mentioned you don't have to act fast necessarily. What it is you want to have that advantage. You want to force the team to try and fix that advantage. And when they bring the double, however they happen to bring it, that's when you pass out of it. Because Vooch has the post skills to score over smaller guys if they try and just leave that smaller guy on an island against him.
Yeah, and I love what even when it was, you know, Brooke Lopez against him. And Brooke Lopez, you know, not necessarily a slouch on defense. I mean, he's not like a fantastic, you know, defensive player. He can block shots for sure. But even when Brooke Lopez was on him, he was still, you know, backing him down with confidence and really taking advantage of the one-on-one matchup there in the post. Because Vooch is a beast, man, and that's what he did, you know, in Orlando. That's what I like to see him do in Chicago if he's going to be here long-term. So love what I saw out of Vooch tonight, but yeah. Just the choke in the fourth quarter is just like, come on, Vooch. And I know he shot, let me say this, I know he shot 2 of 10 from 3, but I'm taking that every time. If he shoots 3 of 10, if he hits one more shot, and they're all wide open, and you have to do that because you have to stretch this Milwaukee Bucks defense. You have to get Brook Lopez and Giannis out of the paint. And if they're not going to do that, I have no problems with him going bombs away. And if he goes 3 for 10, Trey, this might be a different basketball game. If it's just one more shot, and they were all wide open, they all like were spot on, just happened to be like, you know, hit the back of the rim.
Yeah, they were excellent looks. He has to take those shots. And right, one more shot. That's 30%. And you're not necessarily happy with 30%. You're hoping you can get some 40% in there. But just knocking down one or two of those, that's a game changer. Yeah. And especially taking the shots early and establishing the fact that they're going to have to continue to get out there and guard you. So to me, I think more and more we see that Vooch really is the key to unlocking the success for this team.
Yeah. And, you know, if we had Lonzo, I think getting out in transition would be more of what we do. But without him, it's going to be just there's going to be and especially when it comes to playoff time, it's always going to be more half court defenses or offenses. And when you're doing that, Vooch is definitely key there. But before we move on, guys, I want to go ahead and just say stop giving your personal information to your ISP. On top of overcharging, your ISP is allowed to legally sell your browsing history to third-party advertisers for a ton of cash. Take your privacy back with ExpressVPN. Head to our special promotional link at expressvpn.com/hoopball to get 3 bonus months on a 12-month subscription. It's super easy turning it on. Just takes one click, and it works great with streaming services like Netflix or sports packages like League Pass 2. Once more, that's expressvpn.com/hoopball. Grab those 3 bonus months right now. I so much wish we would have won this game. It's hard to see the Bucks shooting that poorly again, because even though the Bulls play great defense, there were a lot of shots that the Bucks missed also. They, as a team, they only shot 40.5% from the field, and they only shot 26.3% from three-pointers. You know, it's been a long layoff for them. They haven't played a lot of basketball for the Bulls too, so both teams are probably a little bit rusty. That might have played a little bit into the shots being missed here, Trey. But I don't know if you were to tell me, so basically both teams struggled from the field, I would say. If you were to ask me which team is more likely to struggle to bounce back from that and perform better from the field, I have to say Bucks, right? So I felt like this was a real opportunity for us.
Yeah, I definitely will regret the Bulls not stealing this game, because this was one that the Bucks tried to not necessarily hand them, but they did not put the Bulls away whenever they had opportunities to do so. And I think the Bulls will be lucky to get the one game. And as much as I love the idea that they might be able to get two from the Bucks, this was one of those two that the Bulls would have been lucky enough to steal, and they just weren't able to get it done.
Yeah. But next one, guys, next Bulls game is going to be in Milwaukee again, of course, against the Bucks, and it's going to be on Wednesday, April 20th at 8:30 p.m. Central. That is a late start there. But we're going to be here for it. I'm going to be here for it. Hopefully Trey will be here for me for it too. And we're going to break it down for you guys. But I think that's going to be it for me. You got anything else, Trey?
No, I should also be here for that. So hopefully we get to celebrate a split.
Yeah,
going back to Chicago.
If we can get a split going back into Chicago, because, man, that UC crowd is going to be nuts for playoff games. Even when the Bulls were winning tonight and they took the lead, you could hear cheers in Milwaukee, of course. Of course, they're not that far away, but you could hear it on the national broadcast even. So that UC crowd is going to be absolutely nutty. So if we can go 1-1 into the Chicago, man, who knows? You never know. You just got to play the games. Hopefully, maybe, you know, if all it takes is like Giannis turning his ankle and all of a sudden we've got a series here. So keep the faith, Bulls fans. We're going to be here for you guys. We're going to break it down for you. But quickly before we sign off, I want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. I am your host. I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith, at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can people find you?
on Twitter at Final Finally.
And please, please, especially all of you Dash Radio folks, go follow us on Twitter when you get a chance. At Ethos Bulls is the Twitter handle for the Twitter feed. There is a feed that we are going to be growing here in the next season, hopefully here, and retweeting a bunch of stuff so you won't have to go anywhere else for Bulls news. So go follow us at Ethos Bulls. And give us a 5-star review, too, if you have a Apple device and you're listening on iTunes. Or if you're not listening on iTunes, just go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. And let us know how we're doing, please. It helps us reach more viewers. But, yeah, let's go, Bulls. Let's get started.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.